Praise the Lord, people. Let's grab our hymnals for our final hymn this morning. Great testimonies, and good to see you all in God's house today. Hymn 29 will stand, and oh, how I love the words of hymn 29. It talks about that day when we'll all get up yonder. Amen? What a day that will be. We'll sing the first, the third, and the fourth of 29. Praise the Lord. Get our piano. Yeah.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory on the board. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all
amen. Please be seated, church. Oh, how we look forward to that day. We will, by the way, church, we will see Jesus. Keep it in mind. Face to face. We shall be like Him, the Bible says, with glorified bodies. Whoa, what a day. Look forward to that. Well, folks, one note as we're opening up to Psalms 37. 34, I should say. I want to make a note of encouragement to you all. I've had two Christians this week tell me that they're not going to vote. And I said, well, why? And they said, well, you know, I'm just disgusted with these candidates. I said, so am I. But I'm going to vote. Very important. I'm just encouraging you to get out there, cast your ballot, because every non-vote is a vote for the enemy side, whom we all know which side that is. But every non-vote, put it this way, every non-vote is one more vote for the enemy. Why? Because you know that the enemy side, they're going to get out and vote for their candidate. You know that because they believe like her. They believe like her. And so we need to get out and show our support. Folks, the main reason I'm encouraging everybody under the sun that I can to vote is because babies' lives are at stake in this election. Do you realize babies' lives are at stake? I'm not going to harp on this, but I'm simply trying to tell you, open your eyes and realize what is at stake. Babies' lives. Millions of them. Millions of them. If for no other reason, you know, terrorism, borders, economy, jobs, if for no other reason, the babies alone should cause us to vote for the one that will stand up for their lives. Oh, beloved, how we need to open our eyes. Well, praise the Lord this morning as we come to the Bible in the book of Psalms. I I'm switching messages. I had a message tonight that I was going to preach to y'all, which I'm going to preach this morning. And I had a message this morning for y'all that I'm going to preach tonight. So, in Psalm 34, look with me here. Please remain seated. In Psalm 34, we have an incredible passage of Scripture. And we read, Beloved, before I begin reading here, I want to ask a question. And I don't want you to answer out loud, but the question is this. Do you fear God? Do you fear God? Well, folks, the problem with the world today is that they don't. But the bigger problem with the world today is that God's people, in many a case, don't fear Him. And we're going to have a little bit of a litmus test this morning concerning fearing God. And by the time we get done, you'll be able to account your own life whether you truly fear God or not. In Psalm 34, I want to talk to you about fearing God. Verse 7, we read, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, and hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Oh, beloved, listen to the psalmist David as he begs with the people to allow him to teach them the fear of the Lord. I want to talk to you about fearing God this morning. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the incredible passage before our eyes. And how many times, Lord, in just these few verses, do you mention the word fear God, fear Him, fear before Him? Lord, I'm so grateful this morning that this Bible teaches that man should fear God. It's a healthy thing to do. It's the right thing to do. You are to be feared and revered and respected, O God. For you alone gave us life. Lord, our very heartbeat and breath, the Bible says, is in your hand. You take it away, we die like the beasts. Father, how we thank you this morning for the word of God, which makes it so clear that man is to fear God and keep His commandments. We ask you to bless your word and give us understanding in this particular truth of the Bible. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Beloved, I'd like to begin this morning's message with this question that I already asked. Do you fear God? Don't answer out loud. You know that most people think of God as some kind of a puppet on a string? That they can make God be whatever they think He should be like? Some people want a suitcase God. You know how they can just open the suitcase in a time of need, get God out to help them with their little problem, and then when everything's okay, they just put God back into the box until they need Him again. You say, well, that's how the world looks at God. No, that's how many Christians treat God. Now, I'm going to give you all a test this morning, and we're going to see clearly if you really fear God the way the Bible says you should. And there's six ways we're going to test that. The first one is this. Fearing God is the starting point of becoming wise. Fearing God is the starting point of becoming wise. Look with me at verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints. Notice David is not talking to the world. The world out there does not fear God this morning. The world out there despises our God, and they despise you for loving Him and fearing Him. Folks, the Bible makes it clear that we're to fear God. Now, that Hebrew word, fear, it's a holy reverence. It's not a shaking in your boots, oh, God's going to hurt me. No, it's a, let me ask you a question. When you were little, did you respect your father? Now, I know some of you didn't have a father at home, and my heart goes out to you. But for those who did, most of us respected, at least gave him reverence because he was our father. How much more should we revere and respect the Father of spirits who gave us our life? Wow. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 1. In Proverbs chapter 1 The Bible makes it clear that if you want to be a wise human being in God's eyes, you need to fear God. Look at this in Proverbs 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David. Now, David just got through saying in Psalm 34, David wrote the book of Psalms for the most part, not all of them. Solomon, his son, wrote the book of Proverbs. Now, notice the congruity between the two. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. This is why he wrote the book. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. They need this in Washington, D.C. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man, a woman, will hear and will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Notice verse 7 carefully. A wise person will fear the Lord. I know why you're in church this morning. You fear God. You want to please him. You want to put a smile on his face. You love him, right? But the world doesn't. Look at the rest of verse 7. But fools. You know this word, world is full of fools? I have to tell you this morning, it's full of fools. Why? They don't fear God. They don't seek God's knowledge. That's what the Bible says. Fools despise, they hate it, wisdom and instruction. From where? Wisdom and instruction from where? The Bible. You mention the Bible and you're an outcast. Get out of my sight. They don't want to hear you. Look at verse 28 of Proverbs 1. Then shall they call upon me, God speaking, but I will not answer them. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose what? The fear of the Lord. Now notice the word choose in verse 29. Man is a free will being. It doesn't matter what the Calvinists preach. Man has a free will, and he either will fear the Lord or he won't. But they have to choose the fear of the Lord. They did not. So God says, I won't hear you in your day of calamity. Proverbs chapter 9. So important, beloved, to be a wise believer and fear God. In Proverbs chapter 9, look at verse number 9. Give instruction, that's biblical instruction, to a wise man. Remember, a wise man fears the Lord. And he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, justified, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me, notice wisdom personified, 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied. And the years of thy life shall be increased. It's the second person of the Godhead, by the way. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. You can't do it for your sister or your brother or anybody else. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. God says, you've got a choice to make. You're either going to be a wise man, a wise woman, or a fool. I didn't say that. God said that, folks. It's so important for us to learn that the starting point of fearing God is being wise, being a wise person. Secondly, this morning, fearing God brings us into the knowledge of God. Here's one I really love, because I love the knowledge of that book. I can't get enough of it. And fearing God will bring more of the knowledge of God into you, so you can impart that to others. If you're still in Proverbs, go to chapter 2. You want to know the Bible? You want to be able to teach others what the scripture really says? You need to fear the Lord. Look what it says in Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge. Now, is this talking about human, secular knowledge? No, it's talking about spiritual knowledge of God. And if liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the what? Fear of the Lord. And find the knowledge of God. Notice the coupling. The fear of the Lord with the knowledge of God. Why? For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He's saying here that you will learn the knowledge of God's word, deep truths from the scripture, by fearing him and keeping his commandments. Amen? This is so important. Proverbs chapter 15. In Proverbs chapter 15, we read in verse 31, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth amongst the wise. That means if you can be corrected for something done wrong, and you learn from that to do it the right way, you're a wise person. You know what the problem with most people is? You tell them something that's going to put them in hell. You tell them something they're doing that displeases God. They don't want, no, I don't want, don't tell me what to do. I'm not listening to that Bible. I don't want God in my life. Fine, fine. Look what it says. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth amongst the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. He's saying, if you want to be a wise person and gain the deep knowledge of God, you've got to fear God and respect God and walk in his ways. Now, listen to this. Daniel Webster penned these words many centuries ago. If we work upon marble, it will perish. If we work upon brass, time will efface it. If we rear up temples, they will crumble to dust. Listen, but if we work upon men's immortal minds and hearts, if we endue them with high principles, with a just fear of God and love of fellow man, we engrave on tablets something which time cannot erase. Moses said in Deuteronomy 31, verse 12, don't turn there. Gather the people together, men, women, and children, and the stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear, and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. Moses says, I want you to teach your children the fear of the Lord. Folks, the fear of the Lord. These people, you listen to CNN, and oh my goodness, if you mention God to a child, you're violating his rights. You're poisoning his mind by teaching him about Jesus. Oh, give me a break. The Bible commands me to teach my children the fear of the Lord. It's a healthy thing. You know why the penitentiary up the road here in Concord is so full? It's full. They got no room left. Why? Because people don't fear God. And they do all these, they commit all these crimes that puts them in the penitentiary. No fear of God. Fear of God will keep you out of prison. The fear of God will make you wise. The fear of God will give you knowledge of God. But something else, quickly. Thirdly this morning, fearing God makes us confident and secure. Confident and secure in our lives. Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Notice all of our references this morning are from Psalms and Proverbs. Interesting. Praise, worship, and wisdom. In Proverbs 14, look at verse 26. The wise man says, in the fear of the Lord is what? Strong confidence. And his children shall have a place of refuge. Wow! I love that. He says, you'll be strong in confidence when you fear God. Why? Think this through. Why would you be strong in confidence by fearing God? It's because you'll know that God is with you, whithersoever thou goest. Amen? And he'll take care of you. Chapter 15, Proverbs 15. Look at verse 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Solomon says you are better off being poor as a pauper. You don't have two nickels to rub together. You live in a cardboard tent. and but you fear God, then the guy in that mansion worth $14 million, he's famous and he's rich, but he doesn't fear God. The Bible says he's got nothing over you. You're the rich one. Proverbs chapter 1. Flip back to Proverbs chapter 1 again. Amazing what the fear of the Lord will do for a human being. I recommend it highly.
Oh, you shouldn't preach that, Pastor. You shouldn't tell people to fear God.
I will till my dying breath.
Ellie got a kick out of that one.
Why? Because you should fear God. I'm not changing my message. Proverbs, I teach what the Bible teaches. Amen? Proverbs 1, verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, God says, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Notice the word safely. That's securely. Why? Because fearing God will bring you confidence and security in your life. I tell you what, folks. I had no direction in my life until October 3rd of 1986 when Jesus Christ came in and he gave my life direction, confidence, and security like nothing else ever could. Isn't that good? Listen now. In 1924, you know I'm a historian, Eric Little, an American Olympic runner, this incredible true story, he was the favorite to win the gold medal at the Olympics in the men's 100-meter race. But when Eric, a faithful Christian, learned that his race would be run on a Sunday, he announced to the Olympic committee that he could not participate in the race. Eric said, I'm sorry, but I fear God. This is what he said. I fear, it's in his autobiography, I fear God and I do not believe that I can race on the Lord's day and still honor him. Many who had praised him now called him a fool. But Eric stood firm and confident that God would be pleased with his action. Then, when a runner dropped out of the 400-meter race due to injury, Eric was asked to fill the slot. And because the race was scheduled for a Thursday, Eric agreed. He said, sure, I'll try it, though he had never run beyond 100 meters in his life. Listen, when the race was run, Eric set a new world record at 47.6 seconds in the 400 meter, taking home the gold to America. He later went on to China as a missionary, where he died in a war camp in 1945. And Eric Little was always been remembered as the runner who feared God. That's what they called him, the runner who feared God. Isn't that good? I love true stories like that. And I'm so glad that Eric Little set an example for fearing God and putting him number one, amen? But something else, beloved, fearing God, fourthly, produces holiness and sanctification of life. Look with me in Proverbs 3. This is important, because this is becoming a lost doctrine of the church. You don't hear preaching on sanctification no more, as if somebody cut it out of the Bible. Folks, look with me in Proverbs 3, verse 7, we read, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Wow. Now notice the coupling of fearing the Lord and doing right, which is departing from evil, being sanctified, being set apart for God's use. Now, go with me to chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 8. You may not get to all of these, but the ones we do are so good. In chapter 8, look with me at verse 13. Solomon says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Time out, church. Do you hate evil? Do you hate the darkness and wickedness of this world? Do you despise it? I do. Why? The Holy Spirit in me compels me. I talk to my sister every day, and we talk about the evil of this world and how vexatious it is. We can't wait to get out of here. Because why? We hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward, that's wicked, mouth do I hate. Paul Solomon says, you know what? I despise evil. I hate it. You know what that is? That's a sanctified soul. That's a sanctified heart right there that hates the evil. That's sanctification. Proverbs 16, quickly. Proverbs got to move. Proverbs 16. Look at me at verse number 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. What a verse! By mercy, see, first you need mercy from God for the sin you committed. And then you need truth to show you what you should be doing. See that? That's the word of God. And then he says, it's purged. That sin is purged. And then, after this purging process, you come to sanctification. Sanctification, last part of the verse, is departing from evil. By what? The fear of the Lord. It's so good how the Lord's word couples together the fear of God with sanctification. What causes us to depart from evil? I'll tell you what it is. It's the Holy Spirit in you. He's compelling you to be sanctified vessel. And now listen carefully, folks. Listen. Dr. E. Stanley Jones tells of his trip to a cathedral in Copenhagen, Denmark, to see Thorvalden's famous statue of the Christ. Not that we condone such. We don't. We don't believe in statues. Alongside the great walls of the cathedral are life-size statues of the 12 apostles. At the very front is the magnificent figure of the Christ. As Dr. Jones approached it, he could not seem to see the eyes of the Lord. Just then the guide said to him, Thornwald sculpted this statue in such a way that you will not be able to see his eyes unless you first kneel at his feet. It was true. That's how he made it. Isn't that good? Listen, if you fear the Lord, you will bow down at his feet in holy sanctified living. Amen? Well, that's what we need to do. Why? 2 Corinthians 7:1. Don't turn there. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You can't do that. I can't do that. But this book can. You get your nose buried in that book, you'll be washed whiter than snow on the inside. You'll be ready to go for Jesus Christ. Why? You'll be sanctified. You'll be sanctified. Something else quickly. Listen now. Fearing God is good for your health. Did you know that fearing God is good for your physical health and spiritual? Listen now. In Proverbs chapter 10, it's amazing to me how that fearing God is coupled together in the Bible with good health. And we find it here in Proverbs 10 verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days. That means you're going to live longer. But the years of the wicked shall be what? Shortened. People die before their time. Why? They don't fear God. They live carelessly, recklessly, and wickedly. And they die before their time. Fearing God is good for your health. Go to chapter 14. Chapter 14. Look at verse 27. 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Fearing God means good life to you, not death. Proverbs 19. In Proverbs 19, look with me at verse 23. The fear of the Lord, there it is again, tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, contented. He shall not be visited with evil. Notice here, the fear of the Lord tends to life. That's an abundant life that Jesus Christ gives. It's a healthy one. In chapter 3, flip back to Proverbs 3. Amazing truths concerning the fear of God and healthy living. In Proverbs 3, I'm not saying you're never going to get a headache. I'm not saying you're not going to get a cold. It's common to humanity, but it will save you from a lot of heartache. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall, what's the it of verse 8? The fear of the Lord of verse 7. It shall be health to thy navel. Now he's talking about your physical body, folks. And marrow to thy bones. Wow. Oh, this is so good. The fear of the Lord. It causes good health. It really does. Listen now. Recently, a Johns Hopkins University medical research professor made an incredible discovery. He found by scientific investigation, the man's not saved, that fearing God and attending church is proven to be good for your health. Listen, the risk of fatal heart attack and heart diseases was found to be twice as high in men who do not attend church as it was in those who profess to be God-fearing churchgoers. He studied this. The professor also discovered
that the soul, I wonder if he got saved as a result of that. He discovered also that so-called clean life associated with regular churchgoers was found to be statistically related to a much lower incidence of other major illnesses and diseases, adding that going to church is without dispute a very favorable factor in physical health. Did you hear that? You coming to church makes you healthier physically. I'm not making this up, folks. Scientific proof right there. Not that we need it. The Bible says so. Now, we already knew this, beloved. Fearing God is good for your health. Just ask the poor sexual deviant that's dying of AIDS. Ask the alcoholic now suffering from sclerosis of the liver. Just ask the man that's addicted to pornography. He needs to see a psychiatrist twice a week. Yes, fearing God is very good for your heart and for your health. Wow, good stuff. Fearing God. But something else this morning, quickly. Fearing God brings blessing, both material and spiritual. Look at Proverbs 22, in case you doubt. Anybody not had breakfast this morning? You didn't have enough pennies to have breakfast? No. You had food on your plate, didn't you? Why? It's a blessing from God. Look in Proverbs 22. I'll show you some people that need food. Ethiopia. My goodness, how blessed we are. Americans don't realize how blessed we are to be born here. In Proverbs 22, look at verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Wow! In that verse, we see two things. We see material blessings and spiritual blessings. You see it? Verse 4. Go to chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. This Bible teaches that the fear of the Lord is so good for you, it's off the charts. Every single doctor in America should have this prescription for every single patient he treats. Fear God and keep his commandments. You'll be, not promising, perfect health. God never promised you that. But he's talking about your general lifestyle. Look at it in chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Promise of God. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. And my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness. The fear of the Lord does. In the midst of the paths of judgment. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. And I will fill their treasures. God is saying, I'm going to bless you in this life, and I'm going to bless you forevermore when you fear me and walk with me. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. Benjamin Franklin, who finally came to Jesus after most of his life was spent as an infidel, penned these words when he was close to death, and I quote, money never made a man happy yet, nor will it. There is nothing in its nature to produce happiness from this world. The more a man has, the more he will want. Instead of its filling a vacuum, it creates a bigger one. If it satisfies one want, it doubles and triples that want another way. That was a true proverb of the wise men. Rely upon it. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure in trouble therewith. Franklin quoted a verse that we went to this morning, saying the fear of the Lord is good for you. It's good for you. It satisfies. Oh, that's powerful. I don't know about you, but I really like that. Because fearing God brings both material and... That's not why we serve God. We don't want to get things. We want to please our Heavenly Father. But we do. He blesses us in this life. You know it's true. Fearing God. Something else. Fearing God must be constant to please Him. Proverbs 23. We must continually fear God. Not just when we feel like it. Sometimes you won't feel like serving God, you know. The flesh resists. The flesh wants its own way. And we need to put it down and crucify it by the Holy Spirit and sword of the Spirit. You know what kills flesh? You know how to kill somebody? Run them through with a sword. No, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm using an illustration. We need a sword to kill this flesh of us, don't we? I'm glad God gave us one. It's a powerful one, more powerful than any sharp two-edged sword in the history of the universe. It will crucify your flesh. It'll kill it. Proverbs 23. Look with me at verse 15. Good stuff. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice. Did anybody catch that? God just said you can make him rejoice. How? If your heart is wise in fearing him. Even mine. Yea, my reign shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Notice, constantly. For surely there is an end. Folks, time out. Your trials and struggles and tribulations are coming to an end. Soon. We're going to talk about that tonight. Very soon, it's all going to be over. Real soon. I got a message for you tonight. Look it, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. God says, you'll make me rejoice when you walk in the fear of God, when you do it all the day long. Notice that. Verse 17, all the day long. He wants you to walk with him. I love that, the fact that God wants us to walk this way. Verner Winery wrote, this day is thine, O Lord. This day is thine, a shining gift from heaven, gleaned for thy use from treasuries of time, given in trust to hold until the even. This day is thine, a sacred charge sublime. This day is thine, to be what thou shalt make it, hidden in self or used in service fine. When thou shalt bring it back to him who gave it, what will it be, this golden day of thine? This day is thine, thy yesterdays are finished. Soon will the present join the changeless past. Will its bright hours be greater for thy keeping, or by the dreaded rust of waste overcast? Listen, this day is thine. There may be no tomorrow. This day is thine, from dawn till setting sun. May thou at even, like a worthy steward, hear in thine heart the master's words, well done. Well done. This day is thine. Whether you're going to fear God and walk with him, or you're going to go your own way. And how many believers today are making that mistake? Going off in the world, getting lost, and out there, and not in God's house, and not right with God. So many backslidden. I fear for them, folks. I truly fear for them. They need to get right. Time is running out. But one last thing I want to give you, and I'll be done. The fear of God. In fearing God, it will cause you to serve God. Fearing God will cause you to serve him. Look at me in Hebrews chapter 12. We'll finish up here. Fearing God is so good for you that it will result in you serving him. I like this one most of all because I don't know about you, but I want to serve God. I want to serve God till I die or get raptured. Amen? You know, a preacher once said, and I second the motion, he said, my biggest fear in life is that God would ever put me on a shelf and not use me anymore. Oh, I think every preacher could say that. That's our biggest fear. Why? Because this life is all about serving him. Serving him. There is nothing else. In Hebrews 12, look with me at verse number 18. For ye, beloved, are not come unto the mount, of burning, that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard and entreated that the word should not be spoken unto them. Drop down to verse 22. But ye are come to Mount Zion, that's the heavenly Jerusalem, unto the city of the living God, and to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. You've come to that family. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. That's Old Testament saints. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth.
But now he had promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. That's you and me. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, millennium, let us have grace whereby we may what? Serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Wow! For our God is a consuming fire. Notice in verse 28 that we are to serve God with reverence and godly fear. Wow. You know what, folks? You won't quit. You won't throw the towel in if you fear God. You'll serve Him till your dying day. I guarantee it. Why? Because serving God is good for you. And fearing God will cause you to serve Him. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the message on fearing God. Lord, I thank you for so many points concerning the fear of the Lord and the blessings, even eternal blessings, that it brings to the soul of the believer. We are so grateful this morning, Lord, that we know these things and we can walk in this truth. But, oh God, there are so many in the world today, so many billions of souls that are in the world without God and without the promise of life because they know not Jesus Christ. Lord, our hearts are burdened this morning. Yes, indeed, we want to fear you more and serve you more and glorify you more. But we also want the lost of this world to walk through those front doors, take a seat in this church, get saved, and fear God and serve Him all their days. That's what we want, Lord. That's what we want for every human being on planet Earth, for them to get saved and fear God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would do whatever it takes to bring revival to America. Lord, it's a scary prayer because bad things can happen in America. But I pray in Jesus' name that you, Heavenly Father, would do what you see necessary for America to come back to the cross, to come back to Jesus Christ, upon which she was founded. Oh God, this nation, we look at it today. And Lord, the Puritans and the Pilgrims would roll over in their graves if they could see the nonsense, the shenanigans, and the evil taking place in our government. Lord, I pray for America this morning that she would come back to the fear of God before it's too late. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals at this time. Altar will be open if you need it. I'd like us to open up to hymn 84 for our closing hymn this morning. Hymn 84. My Jesus, I love thee. Oh, yes, with William Featherstone. And we'll sing the first, second, and fourth. Altar is open.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree.
Amen.
I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. if ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now and the forth in mansions of glory and endless delight.
Amen.
I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing when my blazes ring down on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, is now.
Oh, amen. Praise the Lord, folks. So glad to see your smiling faces in God's house this morning. And I'm so glad to know that you passed the litmus test. Oh, praise the Lord. Father, how we thank you for the message this morning, reminding us there are two groups of people that need this message. First, Lord, the church of the living God, Jesus Christ, redeemed people. How we need to fear you, Lord, not backslide, not fall out of church, Lord, not go our own way and do our own thing, but how we need to serve. That final point, Lord, fearing God will cause us to serve God. Lord, how we need to serve you now in these final days. There's not much time left. We're going to talk about that tonight, Lord. And I just thank you for your believing people that are in the house of God, but so many that are away from you, Lord. Not necessarily the house of God, but from you, Lord. The only way they'll be back here in the house of God is by coming back to the living God. Oh, Lord, I pray for those who are out of church, those who are out there in the world. I pray your Holy Spirit would minister to their hearts and lovingly, gently, and kindly bring them back. Bring them back to the foot of the cross where they will find mercy and truth, the verse said. Mercy and truth and the fear of the Lord. Father, there's a second group we want to pray for, and that is all those who know thee not, all those who have cast thee and thy words behind their back. Lord, I pray that you'd wake them up. Lord, I pray that you would shake them as you promised in Hebrews chapter 12, that you would shake this world to its core, that they might learn to fear God and get born again before it's too late, oh God. I pray for the lost of this world. I pray for this church, Lord, that we'd see standing room only in this place. And we'd see them standing out in the parking lot trying to get in to find a seat. Why? Because of the fear of God. Lord, I think of the old days when people would come crying and weeping to the altar in tears of repentance and begging you to save their hellbound souls, oh God. I pray we'd see that again. As a great revival sweeps across America before it's too late, Lord, I pray that you do what you have to do to awaken this great, quote-unquote, Christian nation. We pray it in Jesus Christ's name, and the people said, amen. 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 Folks, tonight at 6, if you're able, we'll see you then.